When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How do those headphones feel there?
They feel very good, actually. Quite bassy.
Yeah, that's just my voice.
That's very nice. Oh,
yeah, gravelly, that.
Tremors.
And also, that's filtered water, just so you know.
Filtered? Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Only because I went to your house once and
it's a Brita all right, isn't it?
So you started?
Yeah, not now, Mark. I'm telling the story. And you called it council juice. I remember you referred to it out of the tap water. Yes. Council juice.
Yes.
So that is filtered council juice.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I'm joined in the podcast studio by the one and only Danny Ward.
It's like Groundhog Day, isn't it? We've been at this all day. Oh, look at that, he's clapping.
And it's a guest episode and we've got James Redmond.
Hey.
Hello. James Redmond. Someone I've been trying to get on the podcast for ages.
Yeah, a week or two, I think.
Do we need to angle it?
Just episode slightly.
Like, better like that.
There it is. Yeah.
We are the world.
It's a goddamn professional. Yeah. Yeah, we lived together near each other and we went to the gym together all the time, but we never got around to doing the podcast.
No.
I feel like you didn't want to do it. Did you not want to do it?
No, I don't remember what the excuse I made was.
There must be a reason.
I don't really write new material as Mike Gunn recently.
That might have been what you...
As Mike Gunn recently said, I said, do you want to do my new material gig? I've got them in February, March, April, May. Went, not sure I have any by then.
Yeah, because you just start... So basically, I wasn't a part of this when you started your... Because I wasn't really in your gang when you started.
Right.
So you ran a new material gig.
I did.
And I'm guessing Danny would have done that back then, would he?
At the same venue, the Stag in Hampstead.
Of course he fucking did.
Of course, yeah.
Behave, Mark.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the gang.
No, that's when I there was that's when I did it. There was a woman there in the crowd who was friends with a PR agent.
Mm.
And she phoned this PR agent and said, I've seen this act. You've got to see him. Really, really good. And this PR agent phoned me up and she went... Okay, yeah, to represent you in Edinburgh, she goes, you're not eligible for Best Newcomer. You're not going to win the main award. $2,500.
Really?
I said, I think I'll leave that, thanks.
That's good.
So you ran that gig then, but we didn't really, so we sort of knew each other, didn't we? But then we made friends.
This might answer your question.
Oh. Lex, shut up.
She might know.
Before you go for a run, warm up by doing some lunges.
Should do
what the fuck?
We should do some lunges. That's true. She's seen us in the gym not warming up.
Yeah,
is that because I mentioned the gym?
We just do high fives.
I didn't even mention the gym yet.
No, we didn't yet.
Alexa, shut up.
Flipping heck.
So we bumped into each other in Canterbury.
Yeah, outside the Pure Gym.
No,
was it near the Pure Gym?
It was in it was in Asda.
Right.
You were paying for
don't
some food.
Don't say that bit. Can we cut? Waitrose. my career
but
is...
Split the difference.
But wait, we were in Asda and I was just going to the gym and you'd just come from the gym.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I was so surprised because it was in Canterbury. It's a random place. But you were on tour with the strippers.
Don't call it the strippers. The Full Monty play. Proper acting job.
Kind of.
I went to see it, didn't I, James?
Yes, you did. You did,
in
actually.
Wimbledon.
You did, actually, Danny, yeah. Because he's a proper... Friends,
I feel like I wanted.
Did you watch it, Mark?
I was going to, but I feel I feel like I had a gig.
Yeah, that's what they usually say.
Good, ironically, I had something on.
Very good.
There it is.
Very good.
We got there, didn't we?
That's worth it.
We got there.
So yeah, so we sort of connected then.
Yeah.
And then I randomly moved near you, and then we just became gym buddies.
Yeah, which is suspicious, isn't it? Randomly moving near a male stripper. A bit suspicious.
So you
really.
Know, what about the? Remember, did you happen to watch the Full Monty the TV show?
I didn't. No, I was gigging.
Don't think it didn't get good reviews.
Didn't it? No. The show was great fun. I mean, it was a really good script and, yeah, just loved it. And we did, like, what was it, 9 months, 200 gigs, man.
Wow. Did you go fully nude in it?
Yeah, right at the end, as Danny will attest.
Burning to be retinas.
And, you sort of... Well, literally, because as we sort of throw these hats away... And you see our baby acorns from behind. The audience are blinded by lights. But if you're sitting on the front row, like I advise Danny to, on the side, you can see. You can see cocks.
You didn't tell me that. Wasted opportunity.
So the lights are on purpose, so people don't really see.
Although they did, because we kept getting treated and people sending us photos of, you know, silhouettes in my case of huge great appendages, you know. But what was great, just to finish that little bit, sorry, is that everyone was really nervous doing it, you know.
Emphasis on a little bit.
Very good. But wait, though, because all the boys were going, oh, God, here we go, opening night, we've got to do it, oh, my God. We've only done it properly in rehearsal, you know, in front of like three people. So we're going, oh, come on, guys, ready, go, like that. But I was fine because I had a 12-inch prosthetic penis.
Oh, because you're that character. With
my
the
character horse. Was Guy. Yeah, not Horse. Oh, Horse no. was the one who ironically had a small penis, but Guy, who was the gay character who had the massive schlong. So I was like, yeah, come on, boy, let's have it.
So hang on. So does that just go over your bits and pieces?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you were... Yeah. You've got the best
rattles around, yeah.
You've got the best. Did anyone in the audience ever think that was your actual?
Oh yeah, yeah. And it, until one night it fell off. That wasn't great because I got a bit too gung ho with it. Sort of 3 months in, was sort of swinging it around, you know, and it fell off. I was like, oh my God, covering myself up. And as the curtain was coming down, end of act one, and then start of act two, Gary Lucy, who played the lead, just threw in ad lib because we come out in our pants for another scene, and he goes, "You're right, Guy. Did you just sew it back on? No one." Notice, don't worry, on with the show, like that. And it was great, we got massive laughs. It was great.
Oh, brilliant. So was the temperature of the, because obviously you didn't need to worry because you had the thing on, but were the other actors like worried about the temperature and wanting it to...
Not the temperature so much, just sort of, I mean, it was great. There's some really nice moving scenes and it's a bit of acting to do and lots of dancing. I was worried about the dancing because I'm not a good dancer. It was all dance steps and difficult stuff. But yeah, the nudity at the end. But then also just during the show, you're there in your pants walking around a bit, chatting. You think, oh God, you know. So that's why I was going to the gym all the time, you know.
Oh, right.
Plus my character had to mention it. Come on, Laz, I'll take you down to gym. You know, like that. So it was like,
so
oh,
you
God.
Had to look like you'd been to the gym.
Exactly.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Method.
Method, mate. Oh, yeah. Method actor, yeah.
So when you're doing jobs like that, would you say you're an actor and then a comedian?
I like both, really. I miss whatever I'm not doing. I mean, right. I started doing comedy just in between acting jobs, and then now I mainly do comedy.
Because you love it so much.
Okay, that's the only reason. I love how badly paid it is and how little respect you get from family, friends, the punters, you know.
So if you bought in the new material gig again, same venue, is it?
Yes.
And is that so that you've got this like a regular gig where you can
start? Well, I mean, I'm now a father, as you know. You know, thank you very much. Finally, age of 48, became a father, you know, and I can't now get to gigs because my partner has, what's it called? A job. And she doesn't get home till like 7 o'clock, you know, she's got an actual job. So I can't really leave until then to get to gigs outside London. So I thought I'd just run some gigs in London. Yeah. So I'm starting with this one. And then we'll see, you know. But obviously, you know, you have a child. The main reason to have a child is to have someone to boss about, you know, and be superior to, isn't it? You know, and then hopefully one day they can earn their keep and look after you when you're older. But also as a comic, you think, well, also, I'm going to get loads of material out of this. I'm going to lots of observational material about being a father.
That is the classic, isn't it? Suddenly, like, comics have had a baby, have got just loads of stuff about, everything's about having a kid.
Exactly.
I feel like there's a butt coming.
Or, I feel like there's a butt coming.
There is. Yeah. Or you just get dad jokes. You sort of become, oh, God, that's fine. I need some more jokes. There'll be dad ones, that's fine. Mm. But what actually happens is that they become the funny one, and you're just so tired from broken sleep that you just can't. can't create anything. You just absolutely. And they're the funny one. The other day, I mean, as you both know, sadly, my father passed away recently. And my daughter, who's three, saw that as an opportunity to sort of get what she wanted, to manipulate me. So she saw me looking a bit glum one day and then came over and said, "Daddy, I am sad that Papa's gone to heaven too." I said, "Yeah, thanks. He loved you very much." And she said, "Yeah, can I have an ice cream?" Just straight in. And the other, this is even better, the other week, she said, "Chocolate, Daddy, chocolate now." And I said, "We haven't got any chocolate in the house." And she went, "Shop." I said, "Okay, all right, we'll go to the shop." She said, "No, you go to the shop. I'll stay here and watch TV."
Blimey.
It's amazing. Okay.
She's got you wrapped around her little finger.
I went. She's only three. She'll be fine.
So do you think you'll start... So when you haven't started that gig yet?
No, it's restarting February the 5th.
So yeah, you're going to start... You're going to be starting talking about this stuff when... Like, just...
Yeah, I thought it's a good way to try new stuff out. And, I mean, it's great. I love new material stuff because you get, you know, as you know, you get some really good comics coming to just try stuff out. And that's tricky unless you've got a bit of on-stage charisma and experience. So I just texted everyone in my phone. And the lineup I got is phenomenal. You know, I've got Tom Ward, Hal Cruttendon, Nina Benjamin, Tony Law, and possibly somebody who lives nearby who's taller than me and I've worked with on a sitcom I can't mention. So that would be amazing.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah. I know who that is.
Yeah, so that would be just, you know, for £8, that is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
The 2 hours of entertainment.
What does that person do normally? Like work in an office or something?
Yeah, I think he works in an office, yeah. Clang! Good, wasn't it?
So did all those people do the gig before when you did it? So it's just like they know...
No, they're Johnny Come Latelys, mate. Yeah, they didn't want to fucking know the first time around.
No, they didn't.
That's stinks.
True. Yeah, it's
where
true.
Is that gig?
It's at the Stag on Fleet Road next to Hampstead Heath Overground Station.
Oh, okay.
Did you not do it back in the day?
No, we weren't really that buddy, were we?
No.
I think back then. I didn't have any cliques
when
I started.
You were living in Canterbury, weren't you?
I was a Lone Ranger.
Yeah, yeah, and also is that you lived in Canterbury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I always liked you though. I remember meeting you in Edinburgh next to, what's that statue with the little dog?
Yeah, yeah. I was meeting
you there.
My girlfriend.
Yeah, that's why I stopped. She was very attractive.
She was very attractive. And you and two of just started gawping and then sort of looking at me and looking at her and going, that's...
Which, well, you probably can't say now. Which one is this?
I mean, I don't know. Which country is she from? I've dated so many international women.
I remember she was just from. I remember she was. Eurasian, because I said, "Oh yeah, she's very pretty, Eurasian." And Jerry Pace went, "It's not my agent, mate." And I said, "No, Eurasian. No, no, she's not. She's not my agent. No, 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 no."
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. I was with Jerry the other day. Actually.
So, as was I.
Yeah, he's a good lad, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
I love Jerry.
Did his podcast? Did his podcast?
No.
Oh, it's not competition.
I've lived with him though. So lived with him in Edinburgh.
August.
He was very funny. Loads of funny stories about Jerry, he's great. But this is my time.
This is all about you, this one, mate.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
This is all about you.
So was that the last... When did you last go to Edinburgh? Because you'd not really done the Edinburgh thing.
I never got to an hour. I did 4 years. The first time I'd just been going like 2 months, I did like 10-minute spots. And then the second year I shared an hour with Lou Sanders, where she got to, and Luke Benson.
I'm doing my Melbourne and Adelaide shows with Luke Benson.
Oh, great.
Because he lives over in Australia.
He does, yeah. Send him my love. He's brilliant. What a great comic. And then the next year I shared an hour with Louisa on Moulin, which was good. Lovely. And then the following...
Oh, so you've done a few shared hours.
Yeah.
Ellie Taylor.
Ellie Taylor, that's right. Yeah, the last one was with Ellie, yeah.
And were you... In your mind, were you like, I'm going to gradually creep up for the hour?
Yes.
And then why did you decide not to? Just other work came in?
Yeah, I got other... Every summer I kept getting acting jobs. And then also I really enjoyed the club circuit. And I thought, you know what? I'm not sure if I've got like an Edinburgh-type act, really. I mean, it would be just like a 50-minute... club set, really.
Ain't nothing wrong with that in my book.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it depends what you want out of Edinburgh, I suppose, because that's not what
more than you guys got.
Hello. Do you think that is up there, mate?
Oh yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah.
In fact, not only that, I was there
when you won that.
Yeah. Really? There when I won that.
Yeah
you were also there, I think, for the
why wasn't I there? Why were you there?
I think your phone was off.
Why were you there?
Hang on, you were also at the Amuse Moose New Act competition.
Yeah,
me and Mark both dyed our asses.
Yeah.
You were there for that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I introduced you to my friend called Kaff, a member outside. Yeah, sticks in
why were
head.
You there for that?
Just to come and watch.
I just started, yeah.
And
I
was just watching. To see how it's done.
Well, do you know what? That was a semi-final, wasn't it?
I thought it was actually the final.
Well, final, yeah, because I bowed out at the quarter final. I've been going like, I did the Moose Moose.
Bowed out at the first round.
Yeah.
Just by, happened to be a quarter final.
Just by choice. I did the Moose Moose.
I bowed out in the final then. Okay.
Yeah.
I fell on my sword in the
oh,
final.
Oh, God, it makes me feel a bit sick thinking about that final.
Just back to me. I did the Moose Moose course, which is great. Logan Murray, fantastic Logan Murray. And then at the end, he was saying, oh, there's a competition that you can all join up, you know, which is the Absolute, it was called Absolute Beginners, right? Moose Moose comp, right? So I did one.
Is that the laugh off?
This is the new act competition.
Yeah, new act competition.
It's called Absolute Beginners.
Or something like that. Anyway, yeah. Maybe the course was called that.
Yeah.
So I did like one heat of it and did all right and got through. And then I went to the quarters and I lost. I didn't do well at all. But I was chatting to the other comics there thinking, bloody hell, I'm not going to do this. You know, they're all so talented, such good writers and performers, so comfortable on stage. They've all been going like, you know, a few weeks. This is amazing. It was James Acaster and Eric Lampert, Joel Dommett, Josh Widdicombe. And I was like, so how long have you guys been going? 7 years. What? Seven years? Yeah, this just means you haven't been on telly yet. Oh, yeah. Well, ironically, I have been on telly.
and those heats for that Muse Moose question.
We should probably tell people what you did on telly.
I'm pretty sure they'll know.
I think they'll know me.
Oh, God, mate, that is...
An original Hollyoak.
That's a really...
No, you've got youngsters that won't have a clue what Hollyoaks
is. True,
it's
true, yeah. I was on Hollyoaks for 4 years.
One of the originals, right? That was in my heyday of
I still recall watching the first episode of Hollyoaks, seeing James on the telly. You were in a rowboat.
In a rowing boat, yeah. Was I? On the D in Chester, probably.
And I was just off to play badminton.
I don't remember that bit.
No, you were... No, but that's how I tell you. I can see you. You can't see me.
I got you. Yeah, yeah.
And I
still not got the grasp of the television.
No.
Still remember it. Still, I can see the colour of the fleece I was wearing to go to it.
Wow, isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's weird. It sticks to me. And now he's in my living room.
Best of friends.
Foreshadowing. Foreshadowing, that's called.
Yeah, dramatic foreshadowing of us sitting here talking. The Amuse Moose. Yeah, so James was in Hollyoaks.
I think you were in Casualty.
Yeah,
I've been in Casualty for
6 years, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Yeah, that's it.
Broke me arm. Come on.
That was the punchline.
Very good, yeah.
I just couldn't think of which appendage to have broken, but I went for arm.
Yeah, arm's good. It's quite popular.
Me funny bone.
I feel now we've moved a little bit beyond the topic, but
sorry,
I do want to
mention
it.
I just wanted to... So you come back to... what were we...
Back to the Muse Moose competition.
Oh, yeah.
First round, the heat, yeah?
Yeah.
It was 90 seconds.
Was it? It was.
And that
is
really, really hard.
It's difficult, isn't it?
To do anything in 90 seconds.
Yeah. You were very good, I thought. I remember you doing prop stuff. It was really good.
Props is an ugly word, James. pieces, I prefer.
So this is 2009 you did that competition.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell them I'm doing prop stuff. I'm still doing the prop stuff.
Different props.
It's really good prop stuff. It's very,
that.
Very
well,
funny.
It was a T-shirt with a sewn in shirt bit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was good, yeah.
Very grabby.
So were you in the same round for that competition? Oh, hang on. Is it get the clang ready?
Okay, ready.
Didn't James Corden come to watch you?
Yes.
Clang. I was there then.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he did.
Either I was there.
That's how I got
through.
Or
someone told me the previous one.
Right.
James Corden had come to watch you. I think.
Get the clang ready because I'm mates with him. Clang. Because he was in Hollyoaks. People forget that. He doesn't mention it much.
I didn't know that.
It's not on his CV anymore. Yeah, so he happened to be around and I said, oh, come down and watch this thing if you want. And he came and then and Hills, who was running it, was like, oh my God, James Corden's here. That's great. And he laughed at everything that I did. And I think, because he's there to support me,
yeah.
I think everyone laughed at his laugh.
Oh, because he has got a quite distinct laugh.
Yeah,
sort of
high-pitched. Ha, 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 ha.
I don't think that's why you got through.
Well, thanks, mate. But it is.
I'm a bit with high-pitched laughs. Mm-hmm. Your laugh is quite distinctive as well, isn't it?
I'm actually in gigs. I hold my laugh back now. Do you remember I used to laugh quite a bit, kind of, and then people just thought it's just too much like Jimmy Carr's laugh. So I hardly ever do it now.
Don't you?
No, but that is my natural laugh. But people do think
I like it. I think it's good. I think it's good when a comedian enjoys their own stuff and laughs and smiles a bit more. I mean, obviously, it depends what kind of comic you are. If you're deadpan and all that, then don't do it.
I smile a lot when I do it.
It's good. I think it's important.
I'm having fun.
Billy Connolly laughs at his own stuff, you know, and that.
Well, you know,
fucking hell.
Oh, that's
better.
Good.
That's much better.
Yeah, but they don't know who did it. I just did that one.
Can you do some more like that?
Okay, I'll do it now.
What does he say? I mean, anything he says just is funny. I went to see him for 2.5 hours about 10 years ago, and I just laughed the whole way through. Got home and thought,
a long time.
What did he say? Yeah. And you don't remember anything that he said because he's just funny. Yeah. He tells stories that have got no real structure or punchline.
There's no point in 2.5 hours, did you think? Of course, a bit long.
No, he stood for the whole two and a half hours and he had Parkinson's and prostate cancer at the time. And he said,
"You'll notice my arms creeps out."
Because he had his, you kept pushing it down again, you know. And this is a guy who was, you know, not well. And he did 2.5 hours standing.
Yeah.
So have you got some new bits that you're preparing for your next?
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, I mean, it is mainly, I mean, when you try and tell stuff about funny things that your daughter's done, everyone goes, it's not really on stage, you know.
Mm. Do you think so just relaying it isn't enough?
No, it's not really on stage quality, you know, but if you can twist it and stuff, you know, I've been trying to sort of twist it so it's, you know, more of a sort of pull back and reveal something else, you know.
Right.
So I've been saying stuff like, oh, she's three now, she's picking up phrases from me and my in-laws that she shouldn't really be saying at her age. We're in Sainsbury's last week and she shouted top of her lungs, "Brexit is working," that sort of thing. "The monarchy are good people," you know, all that sort of thing.
Have you done that at gigs already?
Yeah, and I got some laughs, but I want to try and sort of extrapolate it, which means make it longer and come up with better...
Maybe short with me.
Very good. Make it sort of give better examples. Because I always find I go a bit crude.
Sorry to interrupt. Could the third one be something about you, that they're talking about you behind your back?
That's very good.
Oh, that is nice.
That is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What might they say negative about me, though?
Daddy hasn't got a 12-inch penis.
What could be a classic thing that mother-in-law...
Daddy is bringing money into the household.
That's it.
Daddy's not chasing a career that's
died.
Yeah.
Yes. That's really good.
Daddy doesn't need to get a job.
So you almost want the first two to be quite sort of...
Yeah, well, those two, the monarchy and Brexit, are great.
That's great. I mean, yeah. That's really good. Yeah. That'll be Daddy is bringing money into the household. That's
very good.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Daddy is not a waster.
Yeah.
That's really good. So about Hollyoaks, is there anything in that?
Hollyoaks isn't shit.
Hollyoaks is still available online only. That doesn't work.
Is it on online only?
It's gone off Channel 4 now. It's on E4 only. Because that audience...
You got shares in it?
No, I should do. I should have done that as part of my deal, shouldn't I? Especially with my dad running it.
We have to explain that one.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
Phil Redmond devised it, as you know, he did.
Oh, so, okay. I didn't know that.
Brookside and Grange Hill and Hollyoaks and a few other shows as well. And everyone always asks me in interviews if they've done some research on me before.
Yeah.
This is an interview, isn't it?
I'm more of a friendly chat, I like to think.
I've got nothing to promote. Oh, I've got my new material night. Yeah, everyone always said, oh, so very lucky that your dad gave you that job. And I go, yeah. And then I realised, do you think he is my dad? But he's not.
Do people hold that against you?
Yeah, well, a bit of nepotism until the talent shone through. You know?
Yeah, he's a good director.
Yeah, Very good.
Was
very
he directing?
He did do some directing. He never directed me, but he did do it at the start, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Director, producer, and then exec producer and divisor. Is that a word? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, he sort of devised his show. I think he's retired now. But he is 6 foot two and scruffy, so that's probably part of the reason that people think he's my dad.
I didn't have you down as scruffy, really, James, to be honest.
Didn't you?
I think you're the opposite of that.
Yeah. Would you?
Very well presented.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Bloody welcome.
Thanks, babe.
So when you first started writing stuff and you did that course, what was your go-to of how to sort of get cracking with it? Did you want to talk about, because you are a known face, you're an actor that's been on TV a lot. So did you want to talk about that?
I didn't. I mean, I think like
you'd have to mention it though, surely.
Yeah, that's what I found out. I think like most comics, when they first start, they go, I'm going to be like my heroes. I can be just like Daniel Kitson. Just like, you know, Louis C.K., whoever it is, and you realise, I don't have the talent or the writing ability or the charisma to be those people.
But that's nonsense, because you're just starting.
Yeah, but I realised that the stuff that came naturally to me on the course was not their style at all. It was a different style of, I mean, because Logan was teaching us different ways of approaching it, 7 different ways of approaching a joke.
Yes.
And I found mine were a lot...
7?
Yeah, no. Mine were all, I've forgotten 6 of them.
Do you play quite self-deprecating?
Yeah.
See, well, you had a good joke about being on the telly, off the telly, didn't you?
Yes, well, that's something really I had to do because I was finding I got a lot of gigs the first sort of couple of years because in those days you were ringing up on telephones and saying, can I have a 10-minute spot? And they go, oh, have you done much? And you go, well, I've only done telly. Oh, what telly have you done? Oh, I'm a soap star, really. But okay, great, yes, come down. Because they thought, well, I can get bums on seats. In fact, embarrassingly, one of my first gigs, Paul Foote was closing and I got a lift from, I think, Trevor Locke. And Paul and I travelled somewhere to do this gig. And we got outside and on the poster, you know, BBC award-winning Paul Foote wasn't on the poster. It was my face with Hollyoaks on it. And I was like, I'm doing a 5-minute. I'm not getting paid. You know what I mean?
And they sell tears off the back of it.
Yeah. So I got lots of gigs for that, which is great. I got a foot in the door and that. But I realised
that... Paul Foote in the door.
Paul Foote in the door. Very good. back to me. And
it's like a catchphrase. I might load it up onto the jingle machine.
Yeah, you say into me. So I was just saying that, what was I saying?
You're saying about turning up to a gig.
Oh, yes. So I realised that in the first sort of 2 or 3 minutes of every gig I did in the first year, people were going, because then this is like, I was still on telly still. I'm still on screen because we filmed like 6 months in advance, whatever. People are going, and not listening.
Yeah.
So I had to, off the bat, say, I'll deal with the face before we start. I'm off the telly literally now. My career's fucked. Laugh, you know. So you're telling them that you've done telly, bit up yourself, but then you're putting yourself down by saying that your career's fucked.
And is that classic? Because when people teach comedy, I didn't do a course, but I think
you can tell that. You can tell that.
Because it's more natural. If you address what you look like, if you look like someone a lot by addressing it, instead of people going, oh, he looks like Ed Sheeran.
Yes.
If you address that, then you just stop that happening and then they're focused on you. And
they like you. They think, oh, he's all right, actually. You know, and I like him because he thinks he's being self-deprecating. Which is, I mean, the older comics, I guess, sort of in their 60s and above, you know, don't like that. They say, you know, you've got to own it. You've got to be more positive and, you know, alpha and all that. All this self-deprecating stuff's a bit, and it is a bit tired now, but, you know.
But I think, I mean, hey, you're a good-looking chap. You're on the telly.
Likewise, both of you, very handsome.
Oh, thanks.
And tall, both of you. I always forget how tall you are, Danny, because I know Mark's, you know, very, what are you, 6'4", Mark?
6'3"
and a half. Oh, yeah. What are you, Danny?
6'3".
Yeah, I'm 6'3", same as you, I think.
Yeah. That happens a lot after the meet and greet.
What a gang.
At the gigs, lots of people will say, oh, you're really tall.
Yeah.
But I feel like when,
can't tell when you're on stage.
And
then,
they always say that. If you come out and you're from off the telly and you're good looking, if you don't go self-deprecating, a lot of people go, will dislike you, I think, as a comic coming on. Don't you think so?
I'm very flattered that you would say that. I've never sort of noticed that myself. I've noticed it with women. Ellie Taylor, when we did it at Edinburgh, she had some really good stuff about modelling, you know, and you see all the audience go at this because all the women in the crowd, I was backstage watching, you know, because I'm not next or I've already done my half.
Yeah.
And I'd see all the women sort of do this. And then look at their boyfriends who are thinking, oh, God, now she thinks I fancy her, which I do, but I can't let on that I do.
And the girlfriend's annoyed because the boyfriend.
Yeah, so she's, she's really beautiful and next model and she's funnier than me. Mm. He definitely, and he's going, oh, no, I can't laugh at her stuff now because she's going to think that. So that was awkward.
Yeah. I can say from experience, it's a nightmare.
Well, there aren't many attractive comics, are there? No. Men. Do you know what I mean? There's like, I guess you'd say Eddie Murphy is a good looking man.
Eddie
Murphy. That's an old preference. Is it?
Yeah, he's the last person.
He's like 70.
Would you?
Name one good looking male comedian. Eddie Murphy.
He's got a lovely.
James has been in a coma glow. For 30 years.
I think he might be the best comic of all time.
Really?
Yeah, I think he might be.
You know, he was meant to be coming back and then COVID and everything, and I don't know what the situation is now.
Yeah, because he did a.
It's a risk, isn't it? Because he's legendary now. Those two specials are legendary.
And he does everything. He does impressions. He does physical comedy. He has long and short form comedy. He sings in it. He dances in it. I mean, he's a
brilliant.
Does
Michael Jackson stuff.
Yeah, and he's very handsome.
So, funniest heckle you've ever had?
Funniest heckle?
Or best heckle?
Oh, do you know what? I can't think of any
worst
really
heckle.
Worst heckles I've ever had. I mean, I think it's worse if they just start talking. If you just a slight sort of murmur grows and you're going, yeah, and then...
Oh, there's nothing that's worse than that.
I mean, I like tell a joke. That's good, you know. Tell us a joke. I like that. That's always a good heckle.
In terms of stitching up a comedian, the easiest...
Tell us a joke is so bad.
Yeah, I mean, tell us a joke is a really hard one to get out of. In terms of stitching up comedians, that's pretty much the best thing you can say. Yeah. But the best thing you can do to comedians is to do nothing, isn't it? Because if you heckle, at least you can. You've got something to work with.
We've heard them all. Because usually it's a physical thing about how you look or your dress or your voice, or whatever. And you've heard them before. Because like at school, when you're bullied and someone says something to you, and you go home going, "Do you know what I should have said? Is that?" You never get a chance to say it again. But on stage, I'm going on stage tomorrow night. They probably say it again, and you go bang. And you go, "Wow, he's really quick."
Yeah.
The comeback was amazing. Yes, I've heard it before.
Yeah, loads of times it'll be you're driving home and you're just trying to think of what should I have said, especially when you're new.
Yeah, and then you ring James and tell him, and then I said this.
Yeah,
and they carried me out on their shoulders. I was like the hero of comedy.
And as a comic, what's the most annoying thing that people say to you just in life?
Well, I MC a lot. You mean to do with the stage or
anything? Yeah,
I MC a lot, so I guess it's flattering in a way. When I've finished a gig, people come up and say that was really good. Do you do comedy as well?
Yeah, it's a classic.
You should try being a comedian.
Yeah. You should. You were probably better than the middle one.
It's amazing how many people don't realise the MCs are comics.
Yeah,
yet they're on there being funny. And
most of the big comics who made it and are presenters or still comics, you know, doing tours and DVDs.
White granddad.
Just woke up out of his coma. Stop having a go.
Yeah. like Eddie Murphy, for example. You know, they've done a lot of MC, haven't they?
VHS, that was.
Yeah, it was. I did it on VHS, both of them. Very
did
good.
You?
Yeah, I did actually.
So you were really into stand-up?
Yes, I was.
Because to have those two specials over here...
Mate, he was making Hollyoaks money.
No, this is way before. That's his 80s. Yeah, and when we got a video in about 80...
Oh,
well, have we got a video? What's that from?
It sounded Partridge-y, but...
Have we got a video? The young ones. You're too young, you two.
I have seen them, but not for many years.
Yeah, no, that was before my time, really. Yeah.
It means it's really heavy. It means there's no more telly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
To be over in this country to then have an Eddie Murphy stand-up special, I think that's quite unusual. Because my mate had the Bill Hicks one when I was at uni, and I thought that was quite obscure.
I had those as well. Yeah, I had Delirious and Raw, Eddie Murphy, and I had some Billy Connolly ones.
So before you acted, had you got in your mind that you wanted to do stand-up?
No, I was just always a big fan. And then when I was doing Hollyoaks, this is quite remarkable. I used to go down on a Thursday night to what's it called?
Alexander's.
Now? No, Bold Street. What's it called? The comedy club that was at Baby Blue in Liverpool.
Comedy Central Live one.
What's the other one called?
Oh, Slaughterhouse.
No, the other one.
So it's the same venue as Baby Blue.
No, it was a gig that moved around. It started somewhere else. Then it went to Bold Street.
Not Hot Water.
No, it's an older one than that. I've forgotten it. I'll come to you when I'm on the way home. I'll just text you. But I used to go to that every Thursday. Texting. All right, Grandad.
I was going to say, and we'll carry you out.
How are we going to drop in where it is now later by text? You just read the text out.
Yeah, I was a big fan of comedy. And I used to go to every Thursday to this club. And the resident MC was so good. I thought, well, he's very funny. I'm very funny. I can do what he does. I'm going to do that. It was Peter Kay. Who's, I think, a little bit better.
That's brilliant.
Whoa, Max has made us look at that. Do you want to do the music?
I think that's a really good point. Yeah, it was.
Yep. Okay, good. Blimey. I thought you were coming at me.
There we go. Great stuff. Thank you, James, for coming.
Pleasure.
Tell us where people can visit this new material night.
Yeah, it's at the Stag Pub on Fleet Road.
Is it deer?
No, very good. Very good. Stag deer, very good. Yeah. It's £8 and you get to see TV's Finest on Mondays. We're doing one a month to start off with.
Crip Off the Mark Tour is coming through.
Oh, there's my alarm sound. Going to do the nursery pickup.
Can you look at that for timing?
Spot on.
Yeah.
Well, not quite. We've still got another 20 Mark Tour. Seconds or so.
Tickets available at marksimmons.co.uk. You can find Danny on social media at...
Danny Ward Comedy or Comedian. Got to check.
And Jokes with Mark for me on all social media platforms. Leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
I'm also on social media.
What's your social media?
James Redmond 1. I mean, you know, talk about self-promotion. Just mention me. Mention your guest as well, I think.
You had a window then, before, when you said, where can you get hold of you?
Was that supposed to be you?
You prioritised your new material night with Stephen Merchant.
I think I prioritised.
Who?
Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
No, that's it, I think, for me.
Didn't ask. Anything more from you, James?
No, I've got to go, actually.
Nothing more from me, James and Danny.
Okay.
Should we do that thing that they do in the 80s sort of TV show?
The wheels have fallen off this.
Be more Gareth! Hashtag Awooga!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.